Chapter 7. The Village of the Lost. Fenris felt a shudder run through him. The demon giggled at whatever look was on his face.
"Oh, you want that," she said. "That's lovely, that's lovely. You don't even know if you believe me, but you want to. You really want to."
"How do I know if you speak the truth?" Fenris demanded. The demon paused.
"Well, you don't," it said. "But I do. Of course I do."
She darted back a few steps, and her bright, sharp-toothed smile took in all of them.
"Now you have to go. You have to. Especially you. You have to go find him."
Solas stepped forward.
"If we may, then, spirit," he said calmly. "The portal behind you leads, I believe, to a place of many doorways."
"Oh, boo that old ruin," the demon said. "Just because you think you know how it works. I know all about you. It's too slow, much too slow."
She was so pleased with herself that the edges of her form were blurring slightly, and pink threads were trailing off around the room. For a moment, she slipped, briefly and disconcertingly, back into Isabella's shape. She shook it off just as quickly, and then conjured a glowing, purple-tinged vortex out of nowhere.
"You should go this way," she said. "It's quick."
Fenris saw Varric catch Solas's eye, then Meryl's. Solas frowned. Meryl made an uncertain face. Fenris knew he should have some opinion, some part in this silent conversation. He did not. Could not. Hawk lived. If it was true, if it was really true, hope dragged its way through his chest like something sharp hooked through his innards. He half thought he could feel the demon's lips pressed against his ear to whisper the words like a wicked promise. He was barely aware of the other three beginning a low-voiced argument. The demon seemed to lose interest in them after a moment. She came to stand in front of Fenris and touched his cheek once more with those sharp-clawed, gentle fingers.
"I still don't understand. He left you," she said. "He doesn't even love you anymore, and you still want him. Why is that?"
"I don't know," Fenris said.
"Mortals are strange."
Fenris had to swallow a choked laugh. "I suppose we are."
"Fun, though."
Another Isabella smirk, and Fenris was struck with a sudden and entirely unexpected stab of nostalgia. Ridiculous to stand in front of this thing and miss the pirate wench.
"You should just go," the demon said in confiding tones. "They're going to waste lots and lots of time this way. The old one, he wants to waste time."
Fenris frowned. "You mean Solas?" Neither Varric nor Meryl could plausibly be described as old.
"Mortals can't live in our realm for long," the demon said. "Not and keep being mortals. Your hawk lives. That's true. It might not be true if you wait."
"You expect me to trust you," Fenris said.
"No," she said. "I expect you to want him too much to care."
She tilted her horned head to one side.
"Am I wrong?"
Fenris forced himself to breathe deep, to think, though he ached right through with a pain that was not physical. He closed his eyes for a moment, watched meaningless spots dance briefly on the darkness behind them, and when he opened them again, the portal still beckoned. "No," he said quietly, "you are not." The vortex was right there. He walked towards it. He heard Varric call out in sudden panic beyond him, but he did not look back. He stepped through. The portal winked out of existence behind him. Fenris had a feeling he had just made a very foolish decision. But the thought had no weight. Ahead lay a great, shimmering pool, a lake with no far side visible. It reflected pinkish-gray under a pale dawn sky. The odd, spiky black tree broke up the scene, lifting leafless fingers towards the vast heavens. And a familiar silhouette stood at the shore.
He was as shadowy against the pale distance as the trees. He stood very still, but Fenris thought he saw his chest rise and fall. The waters lapped at his boots as he looked out towards the horizon, where lake and sky curved into each other and no distinction could be drawn between them. Fenris stopped short. It could be a lie. It could be a trap. The desire demon would surely enjoy doing that to him, but he could not look away. Hawk did not seem to know he was there. Would a dream not know? Would a lie ignore him? He stooped. Fenris heard the faint splash as his hand disturbed the water. A series of ripples went out across the mirror glass surface of the lake, one circle chasing another. When Hawk straightened again, he was holding something. Water dripped from his hand. Fenris saw him adjust his stance, lean back to throw. A flick of his wrist and the stone spun out of his hand and went skipping across the lake. One, two, three bounces against the water's still surface. New circles of overlapping ripples appeared every time the stone touched the water. But it failed to come down again for the fourth bounce. It had vanished mid-flight. A memory. Hawk and his brother Carver on the wounded coast. Waves crashing around their feet, competing half-seriously to see who could skip stones the furthest. Carver sulking when he lost. Fenris had not thought of that in years. Had forgotten, in fact. Did that prove anything? Did it make this true? Hawk stooped for another stone. This one bounced five times before it failed to come back down. It did not vanish. In fact, it sprouted wings and began to rise. Black raven shape against the pinkish sky. Hawk tipped his head back to watch the new bird's progress. "I wish something normal would happen here," he remarked, apparently to himself. His voice echoed across the open water. "Just once! Once is all I ask!" That was all Fenris could take. He stepped forward. "Hawk," he said. Hawk turned. His eyes widened. "Oh, no," he said. "Not this again. I've had quite enough, thank you." And before Fenris could say anything else, he disappeared in a green shimmer. Fenris ran towards the place where Hawk had been, but there was no sign of him, no trace to follow, no trail. Even the shimmer of the shifting fade was gone. The chill water splashed around his feet as he turned about, searching in vain. Nothing. Nothing. And Fenris was convinced by that more than anything else. A spirit would have taunted him, encouraged him, tried to tempt him. "Hawk!" he shouted. But no one answered. The spiky black trees stirred a little, moved by a wind Fenris could not feel. A movement behind him. Fenris turned. Was the bird that had been a stone coming around to rest on a high, bare branch? It looked like a raven. It tilted its head to fix one beady eye on Fenris and croaked. Fenris stared at it. Everything was still. Somewhere, somebody screamed. Fenris looked around sharply. He could not see anyone. The scream had been high and thin and recognizably human. That did not mean much. He reached for his blade. Another scream. This one echoed thinly across the water. The sound was coming from a low, rocky rise that lay hard by the Great Lake. Running towards it was not a conscious decision. Fenris just did it. When the scream came a third time, it was followed by a dreadful roar. Nothing human had made that sound. At the top of the rise was an open space surrounded by low cliffs. Blackened and twisted bodies lay where they had fallen, charred and frozen. The dead darkspawn wore fearsome grimaces even in death. Dark blood leaked from beneath them, and a few were still twitching. The roar had come from an ogre, a massive armored monster. It was advancing on a small, terrified figure. "Here, creature!" Fenris shouted. It swung its massive head around, sniffing for him. Rusting iron rings were riveted to its horns, Its ugly face was painted with blood in patterns not so different from the vitar of the warrior Kunari. The monster's victims screamed again. It looked backwards, distracted. Fenris did not know if it made a difference that the ogre was a fade echo, not a true darkspawn. He suspected it would make very little difference to his corpse. He would not have chosen to face such a monster alone. But then, he had done a great many things in his life that he would never have chosen, and the figure the beast was advancing on was a child. "Come and face me!" he cried. The ogre threw its head back and roared a challenge. When it turned to face Fenris, he could see the brute intelligence in those narrow eyes, and the snarl might equally have been a grin of berserker rage. It set its head low for a charge. White fire burned through Fenris as he leapt. The child screamed again. It was what Varric would have called an absolute bastard of a fight. The ogre, or whatever species of demon was imitating one, Fenris suspected rage, was no mere beast. Its huge hands were deadly weapons in their own right, its horned head a battering ram. It was not stupid. Fenris would have given much for some range support. Such as, he thought with bitter humor, the three companions he had left squabbling in the Desire Demon's palace. An archer and a pair of mages posted around the outside of this impromptu sparring ring would have made this, if not a pleasant battle, at least a straightforward one. As it was, he had no choice but to attempt to duel the thing, attack and defense all at once, and the ogre's size and strength and massive reach made that no easy proposition. Still, he survived. Fortunate, he supposed, that he was armed with a greatsword rather than a maul or hammer. It turned out that one could not kill an ogre without stabbing it, deeply, several times. Blood sprayed wildly from the wounds, and the thing struggled and struck out as it died, its gigantic clawed hands still deadly. Fenris leapt backwards, watched its death throes without letting his guard down, and did not let the lyrium burn fade from his skin until the beast was still. He wiped the sweat from his forehead, scrubbed a hand backward through his hair, and felt stickiness. He was splattered head to toe with the monster's gore. It was to be hoped that darkspawn blood in the fade was less poisonous than it was in the waking world. The child had kept screaming for some of the fight, before seeming to think better of it. Now it was staring at Fenris with wide-eyed awe. It was unkempt and slightly grubby, and as far as Fenris could tell, female.
"You killed it," she said.
"I did," said Fenris. "You are safe now." Wryly, he added, "whatever you are." The child did not seem to take this amiss. She scrambled to her feet.
"Mother said it was dangerous outside the village," she said. "She said I had to be careful. Elder Miriam says the Bon has abandoned us and there aren't any soldiers. She says it's a blight."
"It seems Elder Miriam was right," Fenris said. "Perhaps you should return to your mother." He wiped his face again. There was no blood now. A relief. The ogre's body had disappeared too. The child was still looking at him. "What?"
"Your ears are pointy,"
the child said. It seemed to be something between an observation and an accusation. "Yes, they are," said Fenris.
"Are you an elf?"
"Yes."
"Are you a real elf?"
"Yes." She seemed to accept this.
"Isn't it difficult having sharp ears?"
she asked.
"Do you ever cut yourself when you're combing your hair?"
"Yes. All the time," Fenris said. "I avoid the problem by never combing my hair." Her mouth formed an O shape.
"Really?"
"No," Fenris said, "and my ears are pointed, not sharp." She looked dubious.
"Old Man Barlin said elves have knife ears."
"The word knife ear is something in the nature of a metaphor," Fenris said. "It is also a slur. You should not repeat it." He felt ridiculous, lecturing this fade being as if it were a real child. She seemed pleased, though.
That's what Mother says, too, she said. If they're not sharp, can I touch them?
No.
Please?
No.
But I said please.
And I said no, Fenris said, as firmly as he could. He had no idea how one talked to children, illusory or otherwise, or how to extricate himself safely from this encounter. Return to your mother, child. He tried, and added, without quite meaning to, stay away from ogres.
Will you take me home?
She asked. I will not.
Why?
I have other things to do, Fenris said. I am looking for someone.
You're mean, she said. I'm scared.
The ogre is gone, Fenris told her.
No, it's not. Not really, she said. It's never gone. Not here.
Fenris looked at her, really looked for the first time. He was not sure how one judged the age of a child. He had never in his memory had much to do with them. She was certainly not yet into adolescence. Her dark hair, in two pigtails, was the same shade as Hawk's. The shape of her face, young as it was, held the promise of a strong jaw and sharp cheekbones. Once he saw it, he could not understand how he had missed it before. "You are Bethany Hawk," he said. The little girl nodded. Hawk's mage sister. Fenris knew very little of her. Hawk never talked about her, any more than he talked about Carver or his mother or his long-dead father. She had been older than this, surely, when she was killed. By an ogre, Fenris remembered. It was Carver, not Hawk, who had once mentioned that. "Where is here, exactly?" he asked. "What is this place?"
"Memory,"
said the child Bethany. She held out a small and slightly grubby hand.
"Please take me home. It always comes back."
"Do you know where your brother is?" Fenris asked. He took the offered hand, rather helplessly. For a ghostly spirit being, the child had a strong grip. "I have been looking for him."
"You mean my big brother? He's in the village."
She tugged hard on his hand.
"I'll show you."
She led him back down the path towards the lake. Fenris nearly protested. He already knew that Hawk was not there, but he swallowed the objection as the landscape began to shift around them. Fresh spring grasses shot up around their feet, deepened to summer green, and then vanished in flames. A blanket of snow covered the rocks for an eye blink before it was gone. Trees were now young saplings, now barely grown sprigs, now full grown and green. One near the base of the path had a wooden swing strung from its branches. It was broken, then green-painted and new, then gone. Fenris glanced back when the girl tugged him past and saw it had reappeared, but a young human couple were kissing across it. The lake was where he had left it, still and mirror bright. The black trees still grabbed for the pale sky. But by the lake shore now there was a village. People were going about their daily business, gossiping, browsing a merchant's wares, disappearing mid-step. Time seemed to have no meaning. One moment it was high summer, the next red autumn leaves clogged the village's little river. A ragged train of refugees passed by heading towards one gate, and then a group of soldiers in bright armor going the other way. There was, briefly, a Kunari suspended in a prisoner's cage, but he was gone again before Fenris could get a good look. The child Bethany dragged him on through the village, past windmill and tavern and a small country chantry, and Fenris saw for a single moment every house in ruins, and the green land turned black as darkspawn streamed past with pitch torches. A young man wearing gray warden colors jogged past, looking sorrowful. "Carver, is that you?" Fenris said. He could have sworn it. But the boy turned around and was unmistakably not Carver. Fenris did not recognize him. And then he did. Ferelden coins turned up in the free marches occasionally, and recent ones bore their Warden King's profile, which meant the woman with the Warden's shield he turned to had to be the famous hero of the Fifth Blight. Fenris never saw her face. Their ghostly figures lingered no longer than any of the others.
"Oh!"
cried the child Bethany.
"Mother!"
And she finally let go of Fenris's hand to go racing across the square into the arms of a woman who, Fenris stared, was clearly Leandra Hawk. A younger version, certainly, with only some fine gray threads in her hair. She was dressed well, but not richly. She was smiling as she embraced her daughter. She had always been kind to Fenris. She had been dead for years. The child seemed pleased, at any rate. This place was, had to be, the loathering of Hawk's memory. Impossible that the Fade would conjure it in such detail without him. He must be here somewhere. Fenris glanced around.
"Excuse me, Sir Fenris?"
Bethany said. Fenris backed away a step. He had looked away for only a moment, but that had been long enough to effect a change. The spirit addressing him was no longer a child's form, but a young woman's. The resemblance to her brother was more marked than ever before. There was a mage's staff at her back. "I am no sir," he said foolishly. She only smiled at him. Had he even told her his name?
"Thank you," she said, "for bringing me home. Here, take this."
It was a ring, marked with the familiar crest of Hawk's family. Bethany put it into his hand and then used both hands to gently close his fingers around it. "What's this for?" Fenris demanded.
"Past and future," said the spirit. "Thank you. You were kind and you didn't have to be."
She ducked her head, smiling.
"I think I would have liked you."
"You are not the real Bethany Hawk," Fenris said. The spirit did not seem to hear. Instead, she pointed towards the village's small chantry.
"You can find my brother there," she said. "Look after him, please."
Fenris looked at her, and at the ring he held. He carefully slipped it into the pouch on his belt. "I shall do my best," he said. That seemed to satisfy the spirit. It went back to Leandra. Fenris turned towards the chantry. There was a roar and a scream behind him. He spun back quickly. The outline of the ogre was already fading. The young woman lay sprawled and broken on the ground, with her mother, gray, ragged, and mourning, crouched over her in an attitude of despair. Both of them melted into nothing within seconds. Never really gone, he thought. No, not here.
"Oh my, you say such sweet things. Soon you are going to turn my head."
The voice was female, the accent Orlesian, the tone all arch flirtation. Typical Fade nonsense. You would never hear a voice like that one floating through a Ferelden village chantry. To add to the bizarre mismatch, the woman speaking wore the robes of an affirmed sister. She was leaning against the entrance to a chapel, hip cocked, head tilted, eyebrows raised.
"How soon exactly?" said the boy she was flirting with. "Because I can put the appointment in my diary. Second harvest mirror, Sister Liliana's head due to turn. Meet her at, let's say, the old windmill, and find out how much of what they say about Orlesian girls is really true."
Fenris only just kept his mouth from falling open. That was Hawk. That was Hawk, and he didn't have a beard.
"Oh, sweet boy," said the sister. "A windmill? Really? You have a lot to learn."
And the woman he was trying to flirt with was openly laughing at him.
"I'm a very willing student,"
the younger version of Hawk tried hopefully. "Eager, in fact." The sister chuckled.
"I'm too old for you, pretty thing," she said. "Come and find me when you want to talk about your immortal soul." "You can't be more than a year or two older than me," Hawk said. "Oh, believe me," the sister said, looking very amused. "That's more than enough."
Hawk opened his mouth to say something else, but she was already walking off. She was still chuckling to herself. Hawk looked briefly mortified, but then he shrugged and laughed. "Worth a try," he said, though no one but Fenris was listening. Fenris supposed he had to do something. Try to snap Hawk out of his dream or memory or whatever it was. He was not entirely sure where to begin. There was no obvious approach. Nothing to fight. The youthful Hawk slipped into one of the chantry pews and leaned back at ease in a pose that owed nothing to thoughtful contemplation of the Maker. After a moment, he put his boots up on the back of the pew in front. Hawk winced. There was nothing for it. He had to say something. With any luck, Hawk would not simply vanish this time. He stepped forward. "Hawk?" he said. Hawk startled. His boots slipped sideways, his backside went the other way, and he fell off the pew in a tangle of lanky limbs. Fenris could not help it. He snorted. "Wait," said Hawk. "That was your fault." He looked Fenris up and down from his position, sprawled on the floor. His eyebrow went up. "Well," he said, with no sign of recognition. "Hello?"